On today's episode, we die and go to Disneyland, LB doesn't go to Mexico, and we help you live your best lonely life. All that and more on today's episode of Bad Advice with Lori Beth Denberg.
Help me out, almighty Lori Beth Denberg. Give me the vital information so I get the red dots. Who do ya? The church of Lori Beth is in session, and we're reading from the scriptures of vital information. Talking my goddess and my savior, my LBT.
Listening in the universe. This is Lori Beth Denberg. That's me. And welcome to the Bad Advice Podcast. Woo. With me, as always, is Clark Crozer.
Hello.
Hello, Clark.
How are you?
I'm not the best.
I know. We aren't supposed to be here today.
No. Oh. Loyal longtime listeners will know that I was supposed to be in Mexico. I was supposed to leave last Monday as we record this.
Yep.
And I think last week I talked about, you know, it's up in the air. I don't know if COVID will allow it.
Right.
I think I said I'm not going to get excited. I'm trying to not get excited.
Right. You were still nervous.
I'm still nervous that it could get canceled or that me and my friend would cancel ourselves.
Right.
Because we're all about cancel culture. But that is not the case, dear listeners.
Oh.
A dog ate my passport. A dog chewed the shit out of my passport. And not like a stray dog or anything.
No, no.
That made it sound like I got mugged or something.
I also like that you literally brought your passport here to show me.
I brought my passport
here to show you. Like I wasn't
going to
believe you or...
No, I put pictures of it up. I don't know if I put it on Instagram. Maybe I will.
Okay.
I think I smushed it on Facebook. Definitely I did.
Yeah.
A dog that I love, one of the red dogs.
Yeah.
He is... a silly monster. He is like less than 2 years old.
Is this the one that just got snippy snipped?
He got snippy snipped.
Oh, so he was looking for revenge.
The next day.
Oh!
Yes.
This was before that.
This was before that.
So it couldn't be revenge.
It couldn't have been. It wasn't.
Wow.
But I mean, there was still a little satisfaction in it. So it was in my bag. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
He's a dog.
Yeah.
If you have a dog and it does something, you know, don't leave your old family photos on the coffee table. You know, he's a dick. He's eaten packs of cigarettes before.
Oh, no.
But all of this is, you know, me learning now I need to keep my backpack zipped all the way up.
So he went into your backpack and got it out of your backpack?
He went into my backpack. I was having dinner with my friend at her house.
Okay.
And I wasn't facing, like, he was behind us.
Yeah.
Both the red dogs were behind us. And I turn around, I just see my cigarettes all over.
Oh,
this
no.
is the third pack. He usually leaves me a good amount of unmurdered cigarettes.
Okay.
By the way, everyone, I smoke. I know it's not good. That's a fucking...
That's a different story.
Different conversation. And then I'm like, oh, God damn it, blah, blah, blah. But I mean... I can't be, he's one of those dogs you can't be mad at because he's like so cute and
sweet. Yeah.
But at the same time, I was like, oh, and then I'm like, that's fine. I'm picking him up. And then I see he has my passport in his mouth.
No.
And I see that it's not just in his mouth. I see that he's had it for a minute.
There's pieces on the floor already.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, fuck, I got upset.
No.
Like, I was like, you got my passport. Like, I was, you know, because we're supposed to then go to Mexico 4 days later.
Yeah, well, and hello, this is the end of a year and a half long pandemic. How many other crazy wild trips have you been able to go on that were just like a relaxing vacation?
Actually, none. I know. So, yeah. So, my friend and I looked it up and we thought, oh, it'll be okay. Like my picture's not hurt.
Right.
The first, like, and apparently there's this little chip in the front. It's like, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So I'm also terrified of adult things and paperwork. So I'm like, it'll be fine.
Sure.
This happened on a Wednesday. I didn't do anything about it Thursday.
Oh, no.
Friday, I look up on the internet because my friend that I was going with is like, you need to check it out. Did you handle it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, but it said it was fine on the random internet Google,
right,
whatever that we clicked on.
Yeah, the one thing that you looked at.
I'm like, that gave me the answer I wanted. So I stopped reading. It was like my own fake news that only fucked me over. So then I'm like, okay, I'll call. And I called on a Friday. We were supposed to leave on the Monday.
Monday, yeah.
So I wait for an hour. I wake up at 5 a.m.
Okay.
Because the passporty office line opens at 8 a.m. Eastern.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So I set my alarm for 4:45 and
nice.
I wake up and I am on the phone.
Wow.
Like dialing in. And it said, we are experiencing higher than usual call wait times. Your approximate wait time is 1 hour and 30 minutes.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, I'm staying on the phone.
Wow.
I'm staying on the phone. And it said that thing where it goes, if you don't want to wait, you can leave a callback number.
Sure.
You will not lose your place in line.
Sure.
So after 45 minutes, something like that, I go, okay, I'll try that. And I push like two and it goes, this option is not available right now. Which is fine. I'd rather sit in the line.
Yeah.
I honestly would.
Yeah.
But so I sit there. I get this woman on the phone. I'm super excited. It's now 6:30, between 6:30 and 7 a.m.
Okay.
And I tell her what happens. And she says, okay, well, you've got to, you know, get an appointment. So I say, okay, do you have any appointments today? And she's like, no, we're all booked out. And this is all because of COVID.
Right, of course.
Normally, I would have been able to just go to the place
right.
and say, here's my money. Can I get an expedited one for an extra money?
Yeah.
That's what they say. They say, it's this money, but this is extra money. it's like a mechanic. You go, how much is this going to cost? He goes, how much you got?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that what happens in vacation?
Yeah, in vacation.
The first appointment I can make is Wednesday. I'm supposed to leave Monday.
Right.
Is Wednesday in San Diego.
Oh, my God.
And we live in Los Angeles. There were three offices in California, San Diego, San Francisco, and Los Angeles.
Right.
The only quickest thing was a San Diego appointment at 9 a.m., 2 days after we were supposed to leave on our trip.
Oh.
I'm like, I'll take it.
Oh,
I'm like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And then she says, so I'm like, okay, 2 days, maybe we can squish
it.
And so then she says, well, wait a minute. Do you have your travel booked?
Yeah.
Have you changed your travel? And I said, that's my next phone call.
Yeah.
And she says, you have to have your travel itinerary in hand to even make the appointment.
Huh.
And this is a line for just if you're traveling in the next 72 hours.
Okay.
So we had to have rebooked our travel, hoping that we could get an appointment.
Right.
To change that. Like, it was just
so that
like,
you could go to the, you know, travel.
Yeah. But if I change my flight and then I try to get an appointment after that, they could be like, well, no, now the only appointment is the day after your travel.
There's Thursday in Wyoming.
Yeah. So it was really disheartening. I was just scared that my friend was going to be so fucking pissed and just like excoriate me for like not taking care of it in time, which another friend was on the phone with us. And she's like, that might not even have mattered.
Honestly, if your passport gets destroyed the week before you're supposed to leave.
Yeah. So I was really upset about ruining her trip. And she's also the one that makes the arrangements. So it's like, here, why don't you do a lot more work? But I felt a little better because our trip what's it called with the hotel-y part?
Yeah, yeah. The reservation.
Yeah, the reservation for the like actual where we were going.
Sure.
Isn't refundable, but it's movable.
Okay.
So we could smush it to a different time. Okay. It's like we didn't lose like a jillion pajillion dollars.
Okay, good.
So that's good.
Good, good.
And, but she, I was just so upset. Yeah. So, I mean, I was crying. I'm like, I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry. And I thought she might just be like, you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah.
And, but she texted back a little while later and said, I've postponed the trip. We're going February 1st through February 8th.
Okay.
Now, what that means is my birthday is February 2nd.
Yes.
So that means that she re-smushed the trip for my birthday,
yeah,
which made me feel really good and relieved because it meant she didn't fucking hate me.
Right.
You know,
she
was doing
something nice to you.
It was a very sweet gesture, yeah, that let me know, like, yes, I'm disappointed, and yes, but like, still, like, we're friends. So, you know, but so I am not in Mexico right now.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I am not in Mexico right now, and neither is she.
Yeah.
And for a lot of weird reasons, though, it's working out. I want something real. Like, I want, well, this is really bad. I'm like, I want there to be a huge hurricane.
Oh, no.
That we would have, like, you know, it's like, oh, so good
thank
we didn't
God
go.
Thank God we didn't go.
But now I'm realizing that I'm wishing a big hurricane on everyone who did get to go.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not my intention. Certainly not my intention. It'd be like, I hope our plane crashed. That would have been. It's like, no, that's not something.
That's not something you should wish for.
So, you know, anyway, dear listeners,
wow.
I'd much rather be here talking to you than in Mexico on a lovely vacation. I'll have a lot of advice for you all about your huge problem. I mean, obviously, I do have the perspective that this is not a huge problem.
Yeah.
It's a huge disappointment.
Yeah, yeah.
And a huge learning lesson for me because yeah. I need to zip my fucking backpack up.
There you go.
So, and not put it on the ground. We were just eating dinner and,
You know what, though? My wife has been setting up our next big vacation, which I believe is in January-ish. Mm-hmm.
I'm scheduled to watch the dogs.
But she was basing all of this trip stuff on she wanted to be on vacation on her birthday.
Yeah.
Because that's just something that's really fun. And yep. It's a memorable birthday that you'll never forget.
Yep.
And so, you know, this might turn out to be something fantastic. And
yes.
It could have just been like a fun, chill, easygoing vacation. And now it might be even more fun and crazier
exactly.
and cooler.
Well, it's mostly that she rescheduled it for my birthday, yeah. which like let me know she wasn't going to be like, fuck you. I'm going
exactly.
with someone else. But
wow.
So.
Okay. Well, I'm
so
sorry about
I
that.
So here I am, yeah. excited to give advice to people with bigger problems than me, maybe.
It's true. It's true. In fact, we have some really good questions today. I was really happy with the questions that we got. And we should start off with somebody named Brandy, actually.
Brandy, you're a fine girl.
Exactly. She's writing us and asking us a question. She says, hey, guys, do you think it's normal to have quirks that your partner doesn't like? Like, I'm obsessed with music and Broadway, and anytime I listen to anything at all musical, he asks me to turn it off. I mean, he asks, but I know he's telling me to. Do you think everyone deals with things like this with partners on some level?
The first thing I thought, it's funny how it ties into this whole question.
All right.
I thought of your boyfriend's in denial and secretly gay.
Oh, okay.
And he wants you to turn it off like a light switch, which is a song from the Book of Mormon,
yeah,
which
absolutely.
Is a Broadway show. So your question is just a snake eating its own tail. Brandy.
Yeah.
Brandy. Ugh, it is... If you are constantly blasting, you know, the theme song, the soundtrack to
yeah.
Oklahoma.
Sure.
If the entirety of the air in your apartment/house, wherever you live, is constantly filled with the original cast soundtrack to Showboat.
Right.
I can see being annoyed by that.
Sure.
But if you're just saying every time you turn it on, he's like, turn it off, and you know it's not a request.
Right.
You know, that's an issue.
Yeah.
I mean, if it is that you just won't fucking let up and you're constantly playing it.
Exactly.
There are these things called earphones.
Yeah, exactly.
Or earbuds.
Or headphones.
Yeah, headphones. Thank you. That you could go to. But it's not, everyone has pet peeves and everyone has something about their partner. They're like, oh, I hate this, but I love you otherwise. But if you love something and you're not like I'm picturing you as like a battered wife who's like, can I just turn it on really quietly? Right. And he's like, no.
She's like really silently, just, it's a hard knock life. Yeah. And turn that off.
He's like, I'll show you a hard knock.
Oh, God.
Like he has hilarious puns. Like hilarious, like action movie puns.
But with like theater and musical themes
to
them? Yeah,
like he secretly like studies up like, oh, this will be a good one.
Right.
If you feel like you can't enjoy the things you like, you know, that's not a nice thing to have to like, oh, I can't enjoy the things I like.
Right.
But at the same time, like earbuds might be great because there's nothing more annoying than having to sit through, you know, like I have a friend, I have many friends, you know, and it's like, oh, this music is terrible and you're playing it loud in your house.
Right.
It's like, but this is what I clean to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, this is what I barf to. So there's different, you know, there's varying intensities of not liking what you like. It's certainly weird that you say, he asked me to turn it off, but I know it's not an ask.
Yeah.
No, he's telling me to.
That's very aggressive.
Yeah. But again, if she's just playing it 24/7.
Yeah.
I just need,
Brandy, I'd be aggressive too.
Can you put cameras in your house and send me the footage from a 7-day period so that I can try. I'm like, there were 4 minutes without a Broadway musical going.
Exactly.
Ugh.
You see, I feel like when you're in the house, it's very rare to be listening to music if you're not doing something.
Yeah.
Right. Usually if you're in your house and you're listening to music, you're either cleaning or you're working or you're doing something that doesn't involve another person.
Yeah.
So if you're doing that and you're working or you're cleaning or you're doing whatever and listening to your music, your husband can go to another room.
Like
if that's what you're doing. And if you need the music, you need the music. The only thing I feel like I grew up and I've definitely kept this as an adult as well. But I grew up with a rule that was like a household rule, not a household, but a car rule. And you know what the car rule was?
What?
Driver gets to pick the music.
Oh.
If you're the driver, you get to pick the music. And you know what that meant for me?
You never got to pick the music.
That meant a lifetime of 94.7 The Wave.
Ooh.
Smooth jazz.
94.7 The Wave.
That was it. That was just like smooth jazz for my whole childhood. Because my dad would always drive.
Your dad's driving it and it's all smooth and he's pretending he's flying a plane.
Yeah, exactly.
Clark's dad loves like aviation and stuff, which is cool. Yeah. But I remember when we worked... when we worked at the ad agency, it was all video games.
Oh, yeah.
And there was one that was like, you were flying a plane, you know, it was POV, and it was just flying this plane.
Yeah.
That's all it was. And I go, this is boring. Who would play this? And you go, my dad.
Yeah. He literally, we had to, it was just his birthday last month.
Yep.
And, or the beginning of this month. And, we were going back and forth for months on how much money we were going to spend on him this year because he was really seriously considering spending about $3,000 for his birthday to get a gaming PC. That's a powerful gaming PC with a VR attachment to it.
Okay.
Because there is a new version of Microsoft Flight in which you do real-time flights over what is now, it used to be very animated looking, but is now almost photorealistic.
Whoa.
World underneath you. And now you put on the VR headset and you really are sitting in this cockpit.
Oh my gosh.
And you can look out the window and do all this stuff. And we were really getting ready to buy him a $3,000 rig to do all of this. And in the end, he kind of was just like, you know what? I kind of just want to play around with VR.
Has he done like flight lessons or anything?
He did one time. He did a...
So like $3,000 would pay for a lot of flight lessons.
I know. No, we've had him go up in a little... two-person plane.
Little Buddy Holly deal.
Yeah, and he was able to fly. So
wow.
You could go up, the pilot takes you up, and then once you're up in the air, he kind of like directs you what to do, and then now you're flying the plane, and you're steering, you're turning, you're doing all... He did that once, and it was amazing, and he said he'd love to do it again, but that's as close as he's ever gotten. But anyway, all of that leads us back to if you're driving the car, you get to pick the music. Maybe you should drive more, Brandy.
Brandy, are you driving the house? But that also comes out like, who's paying rent?
Yeah, that's another thing.
You know, but it's interesting because we don't know the, I think I used the word intensity of the situation.
Yeah.
Brandy, tap your iPod twice if you need help. He's also like, I won't have carrots in this house, Brandy. And she's like, I love carrots more than anything. Shut up.
Shut up.
He's like, I only like dramas.
He's like, yeah, he's obsessed with this, a very niche thing too. Yeah. But yeah,
it's not uncommon to have different interests.
Absolutely.
At all. And it's not uncommon at all for you to be like, oh, he's doing this again. I hate that. But it's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
And so if that's just kind of the vibe of it, you know, put in your earbuds.
Yeah.
Put it, you know, drive around the block, as Clark says.
I have one other suggestion, and then we can move on. There are, especially nowadays, a wide breadth of musical styles.
Ah.
What if, find something that your husband's into. Does your husband like 80s rock? Well, then maybe you should play Rock of Ages.
Oh, Rock of Ages.
You know?
Oh, Rock of Love was that horrible show.
Yeah,
with that guy.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe there's a musical that you could find that would have his taste thrown in there, and then you could both enjoy it together. Yeah, just a thought.
Okay, I like it. Or, Brandy, your husband is abusive and you need to write back with the real question.
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is like a coded message asking for help.
Exactly. Jesus. All right. Hopefully that helps, Brandy. And please, if there is more, let us know. But we're going to move on to our next question. And this one is from Louise.
Louise.
And Louise asks, do you think people should get buried or cremated?
Oh.
Simple question.
Interesting.
Right?
Let me prepare. No, I'm kidding. I just had to clear my voice.
I was going to say.
Obviously, it is a personal issue. There are all religious things that go into it.
Sure.
There are cultural things. There are family things. I want to be cremated.
Okay.
I want to be cremated. And a big part of that is, this is kind of deep, but a big part of that would be I'm free of my body.
Yeah.
Like, I am now light as literally air.
Yeah.
If you want to
dust
Big Lebowski me into the
right
ocean breeze and back in your face.
Yeah.
And you know, but Jewish people, I mean, I was raised Jewish,
yeah,
but Jewish people I know don't get cremated or, it, you know, within it's, the religion.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
a
yeah.
thing.
It's
plenty
a thing.
Of them do.
It's a thing.
Oh, excuse me. Plenty of us do. But you know, Jewish people just, you know, get you in the ground like too sweet.
Right.
And it's like a thing.
Yeah. No tattoos.
Exactly. So, and I'm sure all of that has like, you got to go with a Jewish cemetery.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I'm half cremated and covered with tattoos. Can they bury you like just between the cemetery and the street?
Wait, which half is cremated?
Exactly. It depends on what the accident was that killed him. But the fiery car wreck on the passenger side, but the sleeve of tattoos on my right arm is fine.
Okay, I thought you were thinking more like onward, like it's just pants.
Yeah.
It's just legs, right?
No, so there is that, you know, deeply ingrained for a lot of people, religious, cultural, familial
right.
concept. For me, I just want to be cremated and put somewhere nice. I don't know where, but, you know, my friend whose husband just
passed
away, he was buried. It was a whole military funeral. I feel like I did that exact thing when I explained it before.
Yeah.
So I went through that process with her and the whole, rigmarole and the different stages of it, but that's what he wanted.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then she was saying like, you know, there were so many places they didn't get to go. And I was like, see, this is why he should have been cremated. We could go everyone and just toss a pinch of him.
Exactly.
Everywhere, you know, but that's not what he wanted.
Yeah.
And that was based on like all of his experiences and what he wanted. Yeah. So my dad's being cremated.
Really?
Yeah. He loves to show me the paperwork just to make sure I still understand.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's all handled and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. But you don't know where you want to be like released?
No, I haven't thought about that at all.
What are your thoughts on the people that want to be released in specific rides at Disneyland?
I think it's illegal and you shouldn't do it when anyone's watching. I mean, that is such a deal.
Right?
That is such a deal. I mean, it's... How are you going to... I mean, first of all, I don't believe in like life after death and all this kind of stuff. I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
I think that, you know... We should be good and kind to each other on Earth as the meat bags that we are.
Right. Just for the reason of being kind to one another. Yeah. That's all the reason you need.
Because it's nicer.
Yeah. You know? I want to live in a world where people are just nice to each
other. Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I'm not saying like, it's more of that when people have that, you know, oh, I'd love to be put into Hawaii or whatever.
Yeah.
Then that can give people that peace of mind that like, I'm going to spend eternity and not in a you know, spiritual soul kind of a way, but just literally in a place I love. You know?
Yeah.
Let me go spread my ashes in Hawaii. It's like, I'll be in Hawaii forever.
Paradise forever.
Exactly. And the same with, you know, Disneyland or rise at Disneyland. It's, you know, how happy must you be at Disneyland? How special, how personal must it, the feeling you get being there, be to someone who says, dump me in small world.
Right.
You know, I wonder where the most popular.
Oh, that's a hell.
Yeah, I know, right?
An eternity inside of small world.
If you hate your husband and he's like, let me out at the top of Big Thunder. And you're like, you're going in fucking small world, bitch.
I feel like for an eternity, you would just be talking and everything you would say would just sound like it was sung in that stupid song.
I've watched Family Guy in reverse.
Okay.
Like, I've watched all the episodes from this last season.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I want to watch this. So I went, like, see, I think it was season 19, but I watched 18.
No
17.
Kidding.
Yeah, I'm on 3 now.
Stewie's not getting younger.
No one's getting younger. No one's getting older. Eventually, you know,
Meg's voices change.
Yeah, eventually Mila Kunis is going to turn into Lacey Chabert.
Exactly.
But so it's really funny watching it in reverse. But I just saw one where Peter takes Stewie to quote unquote Disney World.
Oh, okay.
And he gets lost and then the evil Disney Corporation kidnaps him and makes him a part of the small world. Like everyone in small world aren't dolls. They're just captured indentured servants. Kids. So that was fun. It's more, I mean, to me who I don't believe in anything but being here right now with the people and dogs that I love or tolerate or haven't met yet.
Right.
And, you know, being a good person and trying to make someone smile and live my life.
Yeah.
That thought of, it's like the safety net. You know, when I die, I'm going to be on the beach in Hawaii.
Right.
You know, it's something for the actual eventual dead person to kind of give themselves solace, to kind of, you know, take maybe the fear away, this and that.
Right.
So maybe I should look into it before I get like dumped in the middle of our high school quad or something.
I was going to wrap this question up with, I think I have a good idea.
Okay.
I think you should plot a cross-country road trip and then make whoever's doing it either slowly dripping you through the whole country as they're driving, or leave little bits of you in little spots. Crossing from one side to the other.
You know what you've just described, Clark?
What?
The most macabre ending to hashtag 1 million hugs ever.
You just get those last three, 999,997 is like somebody hugging your urn.
Yeah, hugging the urn and taking a pinch. Oh my God. If that's what COVID comes to, the entire world has failed me.
Okay. Well—
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Well, thank you so much, Louise. I appreciate that. That was a good question. But it is now time. I'm very excited for our rotating segment of the week, and it has been a while, but it is time for A Voice from the Past.
And now, Matt Advice presents Voice from the Past.
All right, so LB, you want to introduce our Voice from the Past?
I definitely do. On the phone right now is Farrah Alvin.
Woo!
Farrah Alvin was my best friend. Oh, Clark's giving you a round of applause.
Thanks, Clark.
You're welcome.
My best friend from high school. I would say there was a threesome. Hey. You, me, and Stephen Kaplan. So Farrah was one of my best friends in high school. We were definitely drama nerds together. Yeah. She is, I will say, an amazing performer.
Yeah.
Don't get embarrassed, but a voice that, you know, what was the quote that I love? Farrah Alvin from a review has a voice that your family could summer in.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
It's big and belty and soft and emotional, and she's just incredible.
Farrah was also, she was your best friend, but she was also my eternal stage wife. Because we did like three or four plays together, and we were always cast as either husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend.
Correct.
Yeah, we were, you were my stage wife.
That was it. It was a sort of artificial love affair.
Yeah, exactly.
When you both graduated, did your stage children have to decide who to live with? In the mashup dramatic production of Irreconcilable Differences, Kramer versus Kramer.
Was it a musical too? Because I hope so.
Yeah, of course.
I guess it would be called Irreconcilable Kramers.
Exclamation point, the musical.
Exactly.
Yeah, there we go.
So Farrah does have a wonderful voice. She's also an actress. She's been in many Broadway shows.
Yeah.
She's done her own cabaret shows. And she went to high school with us.
That's right.
So
that's the most important part.
And that is definitely the most important part. So how are you doing, Farrah?
I'm doing all right. I've been very fortunate to be able to perform even in this sort of weird pocket of the pandemic that we're in.
Yeah.
So I feel really lucky to do that because so much of live theater and live performance has not been in operation for the last year and a half. So I just reprised one of my one person shows, which is a 70s tribute show called B-Side. I did that and I just did a production of a at the Cape Playhouse in Dennis, Massachusetts, which is the oldest running summer stock theater in the country.
Ooh.
They've been in operation for over 100 years. So people are trying to make it happen, and I'm really lucky to be a part of that. And I'm, you know, living my best Delta variant life. So I'm good.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, we should also say, in addition to all of that, you are also a nutritional coach. What's that about?
That's correct. Yeah.
Apparently that hasn't rubbed off on me yet.
It's all right. About 11, 12 years ago, I sort of thought, what else am I passionate about? I actually wanted to be a bit pickier about the kind of theater work I was taking.
Mm.
You know, when this becomes your job, it was wonderful. Like the experiences we had with high school theater are a mixed bag. I'm sure we'll talk about that in a second. But you know, you sort of fall in love with this idea of what theater is, and then you become a professional. I'm sure this is true for, you know, it's true in film and television and commercial work, everything. And you go, oh, this is not exactly what I imagined. And so, you know, as I progressed in my career, I wanted to be a little pickier about the work that I was taking.
Nice.
And I was like, well, what else am I passionate about? And I had become very passionate about health and nutrition and wellness. So I went to school for that. And I've been doing private coaching with clients on that front for, you know, 10 years plus. Mm. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
I don't know if we said that Farrah lives in New York.
Yeah.
I said it.
I'm like, what if people, I mean, now you could do anything on Zoom, I guess. But
well,
I was like,
yeah.
So if you're in New York and you want to, yeah, we should say you're in New York.
You can't Broadway on Zoom, exactly. But you know.
Oh, you know what? I did say Broadway. So
yeah,
that was okay. Implied. It was inferred. One of my favorite moments is the very first job you got. When you decide to go to New York and you decide to go there instead of going to college, which I think was the right move as a high school dropout.
At the time was definitely the right move. I don't think college is for everyone. I know you have said that on this podcast.
But so the first job that I remember you having was in A Christmas Carol at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And it was this very charming, who was it, Ben Vereen?
Ben Vereen and Terrence Mann were the stars.
Yeah.
And it was written by Lynn Ahrens and Alan Menken. Alan Menken, of course, wrote, you know, every famous Disney movie.
Right.
You know, Beauty and the Beast and
Aladdin.
Aladdin, et cetera. Yeah. And so they wrote the score, and Lynn Ahrens wrote the lyrics to Ragtime. They were like an amazing sort of dream.
Oh, and Once on This Island, that Lynn Ahrens.
Yeah, also wrote Once on This Island. So they were the writers of the show. Sorry, I'm literally standing on the street and couldn't be in a louder spot.
You're coming through loud and clear.
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay, good. Sorry, there's like a lady having a full conversation with her dog. 3 feet from me. I mean, a full conversation, like the dog is talking back. It's a lot.
Is it about anyway, a serious topic? Or are they like, abortion?
Yes. That's a good segue. Yeah. Yes. They're talking about the California recall. It's interesting.
Oh, of course.
So, no, they're not. That's just, I don't know what the F she's talking about. Anyway, I don't care. I'm a New Yorker. So that was my first first big gig, and there were a lot of other sort of famous-y people attached, and it was a really special, lovely Christmas show.
Yes. Yeah. So then I went to it, and afterwards, like when I met up with you, I was just so welled up because I'd seen you in plenty of shows. I'd been in shows with you. I'd, you know, seen your cabaret show. But there was something about like you doing this show and then outside it was New York.
Yeah.
And you had moved there and you were like realizing your dream by being in a big production. I described to you, I'm like, this is so amazing. And you were kind of like, what's going on? But I just remember having this like really like
emotional
response to like, you know, all of that.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's really not, it was, I vaguely remember that too. I definitely remember you coming to visit. LB used to come and visit me a lot in New York, and which was a total blast. And she was, those, you were still on Nick at the time, right? So you'd have reasons to come here for work quite often. And we would be, we were not cool. We would not do like cool New York things.
Oh, we no.
Were like, we were like 19 also. So we couldn't like go out and do things that grown-ups
right.
did. So we like, you know, go see a Broadway show together.
Yeah.
You know, we were kind of nerdy together, which was really fun to do. But I appreciate that you remember that. Like, you know, it's special when you're, you, I don't know if there's any theater kids listening. I teach theater now too. You know, it's sort of like you, when your dream actually sort of comes true, it came true very early for me and then, you know, derailed and changed and did all different kinds of things after that. But like, it was really special to have a person who was there, like when my theater dreams were percolating, sort of see it all come to fruition.
You were in the touring company of Grease.
Yes.
Playing Jan. But Jan. Then
play you, Danny. I'd rather play Danny.
Yeah. But then you were on Broadway in Grease.
That's right.
Playing, were you the company and understudy for Jan? What was that?
Yeah, that's right. I was in the ensemble and I understudied Jan and Miss Lynch. I was 20 years old when I joined the company.
Wow.
I had to cover the teacher because I was tall.
Of course. So I have this romantic notion and I like to surprise people. So I think it was the first time I surprised you is when you were in Grease on Broadway. Mm. And I remember you had told me that people would be annoyed because the musical is not the same as the play.
Right.
So people would.
Oh, you mean the movie.
Oh, yes.
The movie.
The musical is not the same as the movie.
The original play had no music. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I do like the idea of a strictly non-musical version of Grease. That's like a dramatic playwright version.
Yeah, right. So there's a school shooting.
Tell me more.
So you would say people would be disappointed because the musical on Broadway didn't end with "You're the one that I want."
Right,
you are the one I want.
Hoo hoo hoo. No.
So I had gone there. I had gone to a flower shop, maybe more than one, because I wanted to find bamboo. Like instead of bringing you flowers, I wanted to bring you a wop-a-ba-loo-bop-a-wop bamboo. So I was able to find that and like have it wrapped up like little flowers. And then I waited at the stage door after I saw you after the play. And when I saw you come out, I go, "Why didn't you sing 'You're the one that I want'? And then you were like, "Oh my God." And then you said, "Oh, I totally walked through my performance today. You have to come back again." And then we did. We came, me and Michael Morona came back.
Oh my God, that's right.
A couple days later. So
I tried that day.
Yes, I just, she tried really hard. It was like the biggest jazz hands, wide eyesiest performance of all time. But
I wanted them to get their money's worth.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
So those are, I think, two of my favorite. I mean, I've come to, I've surprised you like four times.
You have surprised me so many times. It is truly crazy. And it is, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like one of the last, like, things in life that's surprising, I guess. I don't know. We're just so jaded. We sort of have so much information.
Yeah.
When you're doing a show and you have absolutely no idea that, like, your best friend from high school is there, and then you walk out and you're like, "What?" Although, can I tell the story about how it was ruined?
Yes, I was about to, but you can go ahead.
Okay, so I did this show 2 years ago. It was sort of one of the last shows before the world shut down, I guess. And it was in this very strange location where you had to go into this church and then down. It's an off-Broadway theater, which are sometimes in weird places. So you had to like go down this elevator. It's impossible to find. And so, and also at the top of this show, the star of the show is my lovely friend, Chris Dwan. He started the show in that, coming into the audience. So like he was in, basically the audience went in, then he stood in the lobby when the lobby was empty, and then he like entered into the theater. And so that basically had just happened, and LB was arriving to surprise me like late because she could not find the theater because no one could find the theater. Yep. So she was like wandering, like half wandering, half running, like through the lobby to try and get to the show before it started. And so Chris is standing there and he's like exactly the right age to be a super fan.
Oh, no.
He was like 30, 31 at the time. And so he comes immediately backstage. I didn't know LB. I didn't see her. But Chris comes immediately backstage and he's like, Lori Beth Denberg is here. And I go, what? And he goes, Lori Beth Denberg is here. And I was like, oh, she's here for me. And I was like, I was so excited, right? And he was like, what? And I was like, she's here for me. And he was like, there was no understanding of this at all. So like the 32 and under crowd were like gagging and losing their mind that Lori Beth Denberg was at the show. And they did not understand when I was like explaining, like, she surprised me. But then she didn't, of course, know that her surprise had been ruined. So
yeah.
She was like, surprise! When I got to the lobby, I was like, I knew you're here.
But that was still really good. It was a play called Enter Laughing by Carl Reiner.
Oh, wow.
And you were definitely like, it was a swell show. But there's one song that you performed. Were you sitting on a piano or just near it?
Yeah, I was sitting on it.
Which was like, everyone in the audience was like, yeah. So, okay. You are walking around with your Trader Joe's groceries. So we're going to let you go and go home. Say hi to the husband and the kid.
Thank you so much.
And it's been lovely to talk to you.
Well, thanks so much. I'm so honored. I'm a big, long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm very happy to be here. Have a great podcast, you guys.
Thank you so much, babe. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Bye.
So we're going to move on to our final question of the day. And our final question is a phone question. I'm very excited.
Oh, good.
And it is from Anonymous.
Okay.
Hello, Lori Beth and Clark. I would like to remain anonymous for this question. I'm a big fan of the podcast and I tune in every week and I'm almost caught up. I have a question about living alone. Throughout my 20s, I've lived with lots of different people and it's always pretty much gone poorly with very few exceptions. And I moved around a lot in my 20s. And finally, during the pandemic, I was able to swing it so that I could live alone for the first time in my life. And this is something that I had dreamed of doing for years. I was like, this would solve all of my problems. Like, I won't have to deal with interpersonal stuff with roommates that just ruin my friendships. And I can just stand on my own 2 feet. And now that I do live alone, the first couple months were chill and fun. And now, like, because of my isolation, because of COVID, I'm kind of still having COVID fears. I basically am just alone all the time and I'm kind of starting to go crazy. So I guess my question is, how do you deal with living alone? I should add that I'm 30, just turned, and the feeling of being alone all the time feels very, very 30. Anyway, thank you guys so much. I hope my question made sense.
Yeah. All right. That is Anonymous.
Anonymous. Your question makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. And it doesn't happen this way a lot. It's weird because you don't want to move in with someone you don't know.
Right.
But also your roommate shouldn't be your best friend.
Yeah.
Because separate lives are important.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing worse than dreading going home.
Oh, yeah.
Living with someone.
Yeah.
Or somewhere, even if it's like my neighbors are awful or like that feeling of like dreading going home.
There's this is supposed to be your sanctuary. Exactly. Your place of escape.
Let me get there and relax. Yeah. Let me get there and get the shit done I need to do so I'll feel good that I got it done.
Or just hide away from the world.
Yeah, exactly. So to know you're walking into something like that and to regret it. Yeah, I don't know how bad they were, but it sounds like you moved every 3 weeks.
Yeah, seriously.
Is the problem you? Somehow all of my roommates ended up dead.
Exactly. She's like Black Widow of roommates.
Exactly. Exactly. I talk a lot like Valley Girl and it's annoying, but I am literally,
you are literally a Valley Girl. It's true. Well, out of the two of us, I've never lived alone. I've only lived with either roommates or my parents or my wife.
Yeah. Like,
those are the only two, three things. You've lived alone a number of times.
Yeah, I have lived alone, which was a relief.
Yeah.
It was a relief when it happened because it followed a bad situation.
Totally.
It followed a roommate that there were issues and I was uncomfortable and it was upsetting with someone who was a friend of mine.
Right.
Not super close. We got to know each other better living together, but it just was not a good situation. I moved out to the first place I think I'd lived alone since I'd gotten sober.
Wow.
Because when I was sober, I had no money. Right. You know, we've talked about it. I was the good kind of homeless. Right. I went from couch to couch and floor to floor. I stayed with you for a while.
Yeah.
Until the landlord was like, who's this girl? Do you have a new roommate?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you need to pay me money? And you were like, look, you got to go. but I think when I finally landed at a place that was my own, it was like, oh.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. And it's just sucks so hard, my dear Anonymous, that you finally had this thing.
Yeah.
You can be alone. And guess what? You can be alone for 2 years after that. Yeah,
exactly.
Unless you want to die of COVID.
Oh.
So that is a whole other thing. But what's interesting is we all had, not all of us, a lot of people had that same experience.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden we weren't going out. We weren't meeting for dinner. That's going for drinks at the bar. We weren't going to family things.
That's right.
I mean, unless you're a bad person and you probably still are. Get vaccinated. Hashtag 1,000,000 hugs. So, I mean, hopefully you've been reaching out in all the ways we can. Not that things are opening up a little bit more, but, you know, reaching out, doing the Zoom. Yeah. I never heard of Zoom before this freaking pandemic.
Nobody did.
So I think that if you're reaching out as best you can there, that's good.
Yeah.
And if you're leaving your house, even now, even though things are opening up, which I just said, you know, even during the pandemic, I would have suggested, you know, going outside, going for walks. There were places we could go with our masks on and just kind of soaking up the out of doors and seeing people.
Yeah.
People that during the early pandemic, I met a friend of mine who's now a very good friend of mine, but we were friendly acquaintances, friends.
Sure.
I met her at a park and we would walk. Yeah. A, walk for health reasons, but B, she has a doggie named Bella.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to have some doggy time.
Exactly.
Because I board dogs when people go out of town.
Right.
But no one was going out of town.
Nobody was leaving, yeah.
So I was jonesing for a dog.
Yeah.
So that would be the thing. And then we were part of our, you know, little bubble. Mm. So eventually we got to, you know, hang out. We went to her house and this and that.
Nice.
Masks, all the whole deal, washing hands.
Huh.
And, you know, I'd get doggy love. But, you know, then I would, of course, I talked to everybody. But, like, even we would just see other people and say hi.
Right.
And
strangers.
Connect with the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's important to do.
Yes.
That's really important to do.
Yes.
And I don't think you want to find a roommate. Yeah. I think you'll be like, oh, fuck, what did I do?
I do feel like Anonymous would have also called us at this moment if she didn't find roommates and she was still living with other people.
Yeah.
And it would have been a totally different call of hi, I live with people and I can't find a way to live on my own.
Yeah.
And I've been stuck with the same two horrible people for 2 years straight now. Oh. And I'm going to murder them tomorrow.
Oh, Anonymous.
Right?
Yeah. I can't say that. I'd say I would choose to be alone for the pandemic rather than with someone. But I was with my dad.
Yeah.
So it was frustrating.
Yeah.
And there was that horrible feeling of being quarantined, but never being alone.
Yes.
I never had just...
Yeah.
And so this might be a time, Anonymous, to just... remember where you came from.
Right.
And say, okay, is this still better than living in an uncomfortable situation with a friend / roommate / eventual enemy?
Yeah.
And having that regret and that uncomfortability and saying, okay, I don't have to worry about that because I live on my own now.
Exactly.
But that means that you have to work a little harder to connect with people, with the outside world.
Right.
Obviously, the pandemic was a huge obstacle for, you know, that.
Totally.
It's not like you're going to go to the roller rink.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It's closed forever. Our roller rink.
Our roller rink, yeah. Just got closed and turned
Skateland.
Into the... Turned into what's his name? Alex Trebek Center for the Homeless.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be some sort of charity, but Skateland.
Poor
one out for Skateland.
Ugh.
Pour one out on the skating part so I can slip on it. Like, I need something to help me slip. Concussion. Living alone, you do have to find a way to reach out more because it can get to the point, and especially with the pandemic, it's through the monkey wrench of the millennium into the, God, the millennium's still like really young.
I know.
What else could go wrong? You have to work harder to reach out and to not start isolating in a bad way, to not let the isolation take over.
Yeah.
But when you live alone, you have to work harder on that.
Now, let me ask you this. This might be a good idea or this might be a horrible idea.
Okay.
Does she contact some of those old roommates? Not to be like, come live with me. Just to talk to them and remind herself, like, remember when I had to live with these idiots every single day?
Yeah.
Like, maybe there would be something interesting about that, of contacting one of these or multiple of them.
Yes.
And being like, hey, how's everything going? How's life? What's been happening? How's the pandemic treated you? Just to hear what they're saying and to slowly start realizing, no, you know what?
Yeah.
I think I am better off being here.
Exactly.
Than stuck with them for 2 years.
It's like, hey, I just want to call and connect. I know you drank my milk. You're like, all right, clicking off the phone,
exactly.
Living by myself. You put your feet up and you light a cigar and you just remember.
Exactly.
Work on getting out of the house to go places, safe places right now. Some stuff is opening up.
Yep.
But
use social media. Contact old friends. Talk to your old, you know, people that you haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, that's a big thing is being able to connect with, which, you know, all of this made it so easy. We all have 90, we already had 92 ways to connect.
Right.
With, whenever some new thing comes, I'm like, Snapchat, what the fuck is this? Like, I don't have enough
ways
to be bored by everyone I know and be like anxious that I'm not communicating enough on my own.
Yeah, exactly.
But sorry, Snapchat. Take that, Snapchat. Their stock just plummeted. You know, so, and I appreciate Anonymous being anonymous so that her roommates won't be like, that bitch hates me now.
That sounded like Susan.
Yeah, I think Clark is right. And that's why I said, remember where you came from.
Yeah.
That the yuckiness and uncomfortability and all that stuff of living with people is what it is. You can't control the other people.
Yeah.
But you can control how much you reach out and to whom and how and getting out of your house.
Yeah.
So,
if you're feeling lonely, we live in an age where you can be at home and not lonely anymore.
Yes.
You can contact friends. You can, you know, meet new people. There's all sorts of fun things that you can do now online.
Exactly.
So use online, get some friends.
And go outside and just say hi to random people.
Yeah, I love that too.
If they're not carrying a knife.
Yes. But that was the last question of the day.
Okay.
That was it. So if you guys out there listening, if you have a question or a decision that's weighing heavily on you, please send it to us and let LB ease your burden. Send us your problems at AskLoriBeth.com. You can follow us on all the socials at AskLoriBeth, or just leave a message with your voice at 1-855-336-2374. That's 1-855-DENBERG or 1-855-DENBERG.
And you can find me at LB Denberg on Instagram, at Lori Beth Denberg on Twitter. And there is the Lori Beth Denberg fan page on Facebook. If you want a lovely personalized video from me for a loved one or someone you hate, or if you want me to break up with your boyfriend in a funny, hilarious way.
I love that.
Quiet. This is a breakup. Can you imagine? I'd fucking do it.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
You can book me for any of those at cameo.com/LoriBeth.
Prank phone calls have been a staple of humor for like 50 years.
Yes.
We need to evolve into prank cameos.
I love it.
Right? Just randomly buy a cameo for somebody that you hate and have that person like tell them off.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with that.
Right?
No, I meant to say I'm down with
down.
That.
Down. Yeah, yeah.
I'm so cool.
All right. Thank you everyone for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you so much, babes.
That Advice stars Lori Beth Denberg and Clark Crozier. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Our theme song is written and performed by Natty Ward. If you or someone you love is in need of some bad advice, you can submit your own question on our socials, all of which are Ask Lori Beth, or on our website at AskLoriBeth.com, or for a nostalgic twist, you can call 1-855-DENBERG. That's right, 1-855-336-2374, and leave your question there. Thanks for listening.